Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit at beautiful Christ Cathedral. We're so happy that you're joining us, and we're back here by popular demand with Katie Hughes. Welcome, Katie, to the show.
Thank you.
Katie is an evangelist and a key member of our ministry at Spirit-Filled Hearts, and also another key member of our ministry. Also, our producer, Michael Amola, is on the show with us. Michael, welcome.
Thank you, Steve.
Oh, it's great to have both of you on the show. And the title of this show is The Joy of Lent. Now, that seems to be a little bit of an oxymoron, Katie. Why would Lent be joyful? What's all about that?
Well, it's a time to get closer to God. And what's not joyful about that? Are you willing to sacrifice to be closer to our Lord and be a better servant? And the thought of that makes me joyful to know I can be a better person.
Now, the key to understanding the meaning of Lent is simple, and that is baptism, 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 baptism. And that may shock you, but since the Second Vatican Council, the Church has really emphasized the baptismal character of Lent, especially through the restoration of the catechumen and the Lenten rituals. So why is baptism so important to our Lenten understanding? Well, Lent is a 40-day season developed in the 4th century from three merging sources. The first was the ancient Paschal fast that began as a two-day observance before Easter, but gradually lengthened to 40 days. The second was a catechumen process of preparation for baptism, intense period of preparation for the sacraments of initiation to be celebrated at Easter. And the third was the order of penitence, which was modeled on the catechumen and sought a second conversion for those that had fallen back into serious sin after baptism. So now when we think about baptism, we think about new life, Michael. We think about starting over and just really receiving the Holy Spirit in a big way. And why is the Holy Spirit so important as it relates to this rebirth, this newness, and really repenting of our sins?
Well, I think that for me, the Holy Spirit provides direction for my life. And, you know, as with Advent, Lent is a season where I can stay focused on my faith, and I can continue over those 40 days to think more intently on what's transpiring during the Lenten season.
Now, this 40-day concept that keeps coming up before Easter is very, very important. And it's based upon several biblical accounts. The 40 years, of wilderness wandering by the Israelites, and Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, at which point he was tempted by Satan. Katie, I know these things are really important to you in terms of, for example, Jesus being tempted by Satan during those 40 days. How does that relate to Lent?
Well, before Jesus started his ministry, that's when he spent that time in the desert, and it was preparation. It was a test, and it was God our Father's way of preparing Jesus for his ministry. And so for us, Lent is the same thing. It's our time in the desert to purge ourselves of our selfishness, our lack of faith, and to trust in God with everything by surrendering all that we love, all that we hope for, all the things that we hold so dear, release those and let the Lord purify us and prepare us so that we can become better servants to better serve him in our ministry as we move forward.
Now, the Catechism of the Catholic Church clearly states that the seasons and days of penance in the course of the liturgical year are intense moments of the Church's penitential practice. And you had kind of talked about, Katie, this whole self-denial as being very important. And that's part of what Lent is all about, It's about prayer. It's about almsgiving and fasting. But it's really about this new birth, this new creation in which we are born again, in a sense, or we surrender our hearts to Jesus.
Yes, there are certain things about our humanness that God wants to purchase from. They go in line with the temptations of Christ. The first would be the devil tempting Jesus in the desert to turn stones into bread, and realize that's evidence of our self-pleasure, food, drink, wine, our relationships, all of that. And then his other temptation was at the top of the temple, and the temple is a sign of economic wealth, politics, religious center, and that's the temptation of glory, glorifying yourself. And so God wants us to deny that and to glorify God himself instead. And lastly is the power of temptation, the highest point on the mountain, and the devil tells Jesus to throw his body and the angels will catch you. It's said in the scriptures, and he tempts him with that. And that is power. You have the power. And many of us are very attracted to that power in our work, power in our life, in our social standing, with money. And to deny those temptations is what God's asking. And he's not asking us to not provide for our families, not to eat at all, not to go to church, of course. He's asking us to put him first so we can serve him.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're with Katie Hughes, who was just speaking, and Michael Amola, talking about the joy of Lent. My brothers and sisters, we're at beautiful Christ Cathedral. Please let your friends and neighbors and loved ones know that we are on the air and have them listen in. We're talking about the importance and joy of Lent, and it's just so critical to understand that Lent is a critical part of our liturgical season. And it starts again with Ash Wednesday that we recently had. And again, if you attended any type of service with Ash Wednesday, ashes were applied to your forehead with "Remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return," or "Turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel," depending on who's doing it, has those options. But, you know, that remembering, Michael, that we are dust and to dust you shall return is an important part of really getting in touch with our mortality and why we're here on earth.
Yeah, it is important. And, you know, for me, one of the things that I think about is this is a very short time while we're here, and eternity is going to be a very long time. And it's a joyful thing. And I think it's important for me that, you know, Lent gives me an opportunity to look inward and to think about, you know, my faith and the things that are really important. As Katie said, you know, the worldly things, we're living this existence. We're here. And we do get wrapped up in that. And I think by, you know, me focusing a little more of my time in a Lenten observance, it just allows me to strengthen my faith.
It really does start with understanding who we are, and without God we can do nothing, as it says in John 15. And again, as a big part of Lent is the sacrament of reconciliation, Katie, because in the sacrament reconciliation we understand again that we have to repent of our sins and get and become this new creation.
This is a joyful thing. Maybe it's hard for some people to go and reconcile with God because you're facing your faults, but you're freeing yourself. God is freeing you. That's exciting to me, that he can free me from my sin. He can wash me as white as snow and come out of confession and start again. What a great gift. And for me, it's joyful, and I hope you find that too.
Well, there's no question that when we are born again, in a sense, as it says in John 3, again, when Nicodemus went to John and asked, you know, what must I do to obtain eternal life? I mean, Jesus was very clear on that. And Jesus turned to him and, you know, as a teacher, as he's turning to us right now, and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit, and was born of flesh is flesh, was born of spirit is spirit. So we must be born of water, which is relating to baptism, but also we must be aware that we must be born of the Holy Spirit. And again, relating to that baptism, that new beginning, is what Lent is all about. And it's so exciting to take an inventory of our lives and basically say, where am I in conjunction with being close to the Lord? Where am I in conjunction with putting God first in all things? To seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, Matthew 6:33. So my brothers and sisters, we're going to go into the three most important parts of Lent, which is prayer, which is fasting, and almsgiving. And we'll be right back after a short break.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am a soul.
Hi, this is Deacon Steve Greco from Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, and we are so excited to be partnering with Immaculate Heart. And I'm also very pleased to have published my first book, 365 Days of Praise. It's a daily devotional to help you with a daily scripture reading, a reflection, and also a thought-provoking question to help stimulate your spiritual growth.
Available online at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or find out more at SpiritFilledHearts.org.
Hello everyone, it's Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here at beautiful Christ Cathedral on Empowered by the Spirit, talking about the joy of Lent. And there are three aspects of Lent. There's prayer and fasting and almsgiving. First, on the prayer side, it's really important, Katie, that we get in touch with the Lord and get in the presence of the Lord through prayer. And Lent gives us lots of opportunities to really reflect upon where are we in terms of our oneness, our presence with Christ. And tell us about, you know, what do you do during Lent as it relates to increasing your prayer life?
Well, I think I take an inventory first of what am I doing right now and how can I add to it? How can I elevate my prayer life to make it mean more fervent prayer? And so I guess I still stick to the usuals of the rosary, going to daily mass, praying to the Lord and just in conversation and praising him. And so those are some things that I do, but I feel like I want to step it up and develop more. And so I do that a lot through praying the scriptural rosary and also really delving into the scriptures and praying the scriptures as I read them. And that really helps me to understand the walk of Jesus, to become closer to him.
There's all different kinds of prayer. There's that contemplative prayer, that really focusing on a few words or the rosary that you mentioned, letting God enter your heart and asking the Lord, you know, just to reveal to you his love. Focusing on the love of the Father, focusing on what God is calling you to do, praising him, as you say, being thankful, having gratitude. There's also praying of Scripture, you know, to take a look at Scripture and let it come alive to you. You know, let the words pop out that, as it says in Ephesians 1, that you were called before the dawn of time to be his children. You were called to be spotless. You were called to be holy. You were called to be full of, to be blameless and full of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 3, that we have been blessed in the church, as Ephesians 1:3, blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. To be chosen before the foundation of the world, be holy without blemish before him, and in love to be destined for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ in accord with the favor of his will. To meditate on that and let that come alive to us. And, You know, prayer changes things, Michael, in such a big way. And the more we pray, the more we feel God's presence and grace.
Yeah, I think that, as Katie said, you know, when we think about Lent, what can we add? And I was just reflecting on sports is a perfect metaphor because, you know, we don't get better at a sport unless we practice. And for me, the opportunity to go to daily Mass, which I'm blessed to be able to do, allows me to pray and allows me to think about, you know, the saints, to think about the Mass, and to reflect on the cross. Sometimes when I'm finished with, you know, my preparatory prayers, just to sit there and reflect on the cross. And one of the things that you know, I'd suggest to our listeners, we were talking during the break about things that we can do, additional things we can do. You know, if you don't go to daily Mass, just try to go to Mass one time a week additional and, you know, see how that impacts you, you know, in your prayer life and in your spiritual life.
And again, prayer is a lot of different things, and one of the areas of prayer is really looking at the opportunity to attend Stations of the Cross, which is a Friday at noon at most parishes. And Michael, that's something that you've done, and how is that rewarding to you?
I have done it in the past, and as you reminded me, that's something I'm going to do during this Lent. What it does for me, it allows me to reflect on, you know, what Jesus did, you know, the sacrifice that he made for me, for all of us. And when I really ponder that, when I really focus on that, that is so incredible. And it's so far past what I can comprehend in my mind. And it just shows the love that God has, the love that Jesus has for all of us, and the sacrifice that was made. And it's truly inspiring. And it takes a half an hour to be able to be there. In our church, the way our pastor does it, is we travel to each of the stations throughout the church. And, you know, he recites the prayers, and it just allows us to look at those stations and to reflect on how it's impacted our lives and the lives of so many.
Michael, I was just reflecting on the stations and just thinking back a couple years ago, going on a pilgrimage, and one of the things we did was they have markings throughout Jerusalem of the Stations of the Cross. And we would hit certain spots, and probably some of the most, in reading the scriptures of that station and standing at that place where Jesus was, and you're surrounded by crowds of people on top of what your little group is doing. It just, for me, it just magnified like this horrible walk that he walked, and I felt like we were walking together and we were carrying the cross, taking turns, and then going into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And so close, within the proximity, was where he was nailed to the cross, where he was anointed and laid out after he had died, and thinking of the sadness of that, and also the tomb. But what was exciting was that tomb was empty, and that's the promise that we have. And so living it in that way really touched my heart.
This is Deacon Steve Greco with Katie Hughes and Michael Mola, Empowered by the Spirit at Beautiful Christ Cathedral. And we're talking about the joy of Lent, and this particular segment is focusing on prayer. You mentioned a pilgrimage, and we are going as part of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry to the Holy Land starting May 17th. And if you're interested in that, please contact me at Deacon Steve at SpiritfuledHearts.org. That's Deacon Steve at SpiritfuledHearts.org. The other thing that's really important is to understand community prayer, and especially during Lent, but all the time, certainly. And take a look in your Bibles at Acts 2, verse 46 and 47. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple area and to breaking bread in their homes. They ate their meals with exultation, sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. You look at the upper room before Pentecost. They were always together, praying together. And what an opportunity during Lent. And Katie, on February 20th, on Saturday night at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, 9 Hillgate in Irvine. Our listeners could meet us because that is our prayer meeting. And what a great opportunity to, during the Lenten season, to go to a prayer meeting where there is spiritual praise and worship. There is healing service, an opportunity to meet a lot of people and pray a lot of people. Why are something like a prayer meeting, our prayer meeting in particular, why is that so important maybe for our listeners to attend?
I think you want to get closer to the Lord. You want to add something to your spiritual life. If you've never gone to a prayer meeting and maybe a little anxious about what that's about, bring a friend, a close friend who you feel comfortable with, and bring them with you. And, you know, whether you're in the back seat observing and just taking it all in, or you want to jump in and just be a part of, you know, right in the middle of the prayer meeting, you'll feel the great joy of the Lord because the Holy Spirit's there.
And we usually have over 100 people, so don't feel like you're going to be singled out. But it's a great opportunity. And Michael, the verse that says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in my midst. Jesus wants us to gather in groups, whether it be small groups, our Friday morning men's group at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, 9 Hillgate in Irvine. You can attend that at 7 a.m. And we're also starting really small group discussions. And tell us more about that.
Yeah, our parish at Christmas time gave away a Christmas present. And we gave away a book, a Matthew Kelly book, on rediscovering Catholicism, which was given out to every family and every guest that was at our church. And the next extension of that is that during Lent, we're going to have a small group discussion group that will be lasting for 5 weeks. And again, I think the important part is that for the people who participate, it allows us to build on our faith. You know, I've never gone to a prayer group or a Friday morning men's meeting that I didn't learn something more about the people who were there and myself. So if I stay open to those opportunities, then my faith grows little by little. And I think that that's the important thing. We have to be an active participant in our faith.
And it makes such a big difference, my brothers and sisters, when we're praying for other people, with other people, and involved in community. And prayer changes things. More than anything else, Jesus wants us to praise Him, to be in His presence, but also to pray with one another and pray for one another, to really be an encourager. And that's a big part of what prayer is all about, is really helping people. People can come up to you, Katie, and say, boy, you know, I'm really hurting right now, and I'm, you know, sick, or my son's sick, or daughter's sick, and my husband has to go into surgery, and we pray for them right at the moment.
Yes, seize that moment and know that you love them. No, let them know that you love them, because when you take that time, let's do it now. Let's pray together. We trust God and He's with us, and we're going to ask for His grace, His encouragement. I mean, loving one another, that's what Jesus wanted. That was the whole point. To reconcile with God in this Lenten season is to love one another through prayer.
My brothers and sisters, we're going to be talking about fasting, but also feasting. Perhaps you haven't heard that context before. Of Lent is not just about fasting, but also about feasting. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. It's Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here on Empowered by the Spirit, and we've talked about the joy of Lent. We've talked about the meaning and background of Lent, the critical aspect of, and essentially, like a baptism, to be washed clean, white as snow, from the love of Jesus with the Holy Spirit. That prayer is a foundation of Lent, the foundation of being in the presence of God. A second key element is fasting, but fasting alone isn't what God is calling us to do. Lent is a time for more than just ordinary fasting. It's a joyous season of feasting. We're called to fast from things that separate us from God, but to feast on things that increase our love of God and others. So with that context, the fasting is not just fasting of food or giving things up or Diet Coke, right, or whatever it might be.
That's it.
But it might be fasting from judging others. And if we fast on judging others, what do we feast on, Michael?
Boy, that's a good question. Fast on judging others. The feast would be that, you know, we become better in the eyes of God. We become a more holy person.
And that we feast on dwelling in Christ in them, and we become more holy as it relates to really, as Michael said, you know, changing our thought process in which we see Christ in them. You know, a lot of people focus on, worrying about various anger. You know, they don't want to be angry anymore, and we certainly want to fast from anger. But in addition to fasting from anger, what do we feast on, Katie?
Well, and when you stop being angry with people, those who have hurt you, and then change that into forgiveness, your heart will be changed. You will be Christ-like, and always know that you're a child of God, and so is the one that you're upset with. And so when you treat them how you want to be treated, with forgiveness, it changes your life.
And how about, Michael, starting with ourselves? I don't know about you, but, you know, my disappointment about my own actions and being angry at myself and putting myself down in shame, which leads to addiction and all that stuff, you know, it really starts with forgiving myself. And that's a very important part of Lent, you know.
And hard to do, because I think that who knows us better than ourselves? And we can be so hypercritical of ourselves. And I know that when it comes to repentance and forgiveness, it's a struggle, because I think I've done some of the worst things in the world. And I know in my head I should know that God has forgiven me for those things, but I can certainly be very hypercritical of myself and not give that up. So this is one of the things that, you know, during the Lenten season, again, to reflect on my Catholic journey, I can become a little bit kinder to myself.
And my brothers and sisters, it's so important. God loves you so much. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, is Romans 8:1. Do not judge yourself. Do not be judgmental in terms of being angry, the fact that you've fallen and sinned again, and I'm talking to you right now. Go to reconciliation. Remember, Jesus rejoices on the repentant sinner. Go to reconciliation. Forgive yourself. And the other thing that's really important is just not to be that whiner or complainer. You know, and so many times we start whining and complaining about our boss or about our spouse, our children, our circumstances, our finances, whatever it might be. But it's really important to feast on something rather than complaining or rather than being discontent. What should we be feasting on, Katie?
Thankfulness and gratitude. Thank God for where you are at and for knowing He loves you, and think of all the blessings He has placed in your life. And though you're going through challenges, focus on the positive. Focus on what God is doing in your life and how those trials in your life are bringing you closer to Him. And just praise God through it. And I think, you know, it's very difficult when you're in the middle of it. And all I can say is ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to show you the blessings and to focus on them.
And we have said in the past, make a list of things you're thankful for. In fact, right now, get a piece of paper or on your smartphone or computer and write out 7 things that you're particularly thankful for. Make a copy of it and keep it in your wallet or your purse, whatever it might be, or someplace where you're feeling like you're complaining or not being thankful or feeling sorry for yourself, and take it out And as part of Lent, just constantly be thanking God and really focusing on that.
Steve, I think one thing that people will find is when they have angst, when they're discontent, when they're upset about something, you know, when you focus on gratitude and you really think, you can't be upset and angry if you're focusing your mind on being grateful. That's the blessing that you have when you do focus on the good things in your life.
When you have an attitude of gratitude, your whole life changes. And it's so important to understand that. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, you know, it's not an accident that Jesus said this. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. This is verse 17, 18. In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Boy, when you give thanks, your whole world changes, your whole life changes. And this Lent, you know, be giving thanks for what's around you and also what's coming, to have faith. And this relates also to fasting from discouragement, Michael. And we talked about employment initiative last ministry last week. People get discouraged over their health, their finances, relationships, whatever it be. But instead of being discouraged, what should we be feasting on?
Feast on hope. Feast on hope. And I think that, as you've pointed out many times, you know, to accept the fact that God is in your life, Jesus is in your life, and He is moving in a direction. And we may not understand what that direction is right now, but even in the most difficult of times, as we're discouraged, if we keep in mind that God is with us and God is pointing us in a direction, and just praise Him for what He's doing in our life, you know, things do get better. So you have to be hopeful.
God is the God of hope, as it says in Romans. And, you know, when we hope, we have faith. And when we have faith, then that faith is like that little mustard seed that moves mountains. Katie, it's really important we fast from dwelling on our problems and being absorbed by them. What is it that we should feast on then?
Prayer. And this prayer is one that is supportive. And whether it's in your life, what you're going through, or a family member, and the problems just seem overwhelming in their life or yours, you have a God that loves you. Take joy in that. And God is there. He's right there next to you. And He just wants you to turn to Him and say, help me. And He wants to help you. He wants to fill you with His love. He wants to fill you with encouragement of His Holy Spirit. And He wants you to turn to Him and follow Him.
My brothers and sisters, I ask one question of you. What was your biggest problem 5 years ago? Yeah, some of you may know, but most of you are thinking back, well, I can't really remember. And that's because God was there and God helped you work your way through it. And it's so critical to understand that Jesus is the God who loves us so much that He gives us strength in the time of discouragement, gives us strength to overcome our challenges. And as it says in Scripture, He will never give you more than you can handle. But fasting itself, pure fasting, is also a very important part of Lent. And what does that really mean to fast? And why is it so important, Katie?
Fasting is a purification, and that's what we need to do to become closer to the Lord. We are His children, and He loves us very much, and He knows our faults. But our Lord, He has this unending love where He just sees us how He created us to be. And He wants us to rise to that. And one of the things that you can do this Lent is to be less of you, to be less focused on the things that satisfy you in this physical world, and to allow the Lord to replace that. Let the Lord's love replace those things that distract you from Him. And that's the key to fasting. It may be food. It may be your favorite dessert. It may be your favorite coffee drink every day, and that's part of your thing, and that's what satisfies you and gives you that encouragement. well, the Lord's more encouraging than a cup of coffee. So put that away. Give that money to the poor or save it for something. And then let the Lord fill you. Let the Lord be your caffeine.
And we are to abstain again from meat on Fridays if we're between the ages of 18 and 59. But even if you're not, you know, and abstain from something. And certainly that's very important. And I know, Michael, you have something you abstain from every Lent. And how does that help you get closer to God?
Yeah, for people who know me, I'm a real Diet Coke person. And so I give up Diet Coke during Lent. And the thing that I'm very aware of is that every time when I would like to have that Diet Coke, and I remind myself that I gave that up for Lent, it also allows me to reflect on something that I'm doing, as Katie said, a purification. I don't think of it as purification, but, you know, to some degree it is. But I think about, you know, I'm doing that to gain a little bit more of a relationship with God. I'm making a commitment. I'm living that commitment.
What a joyous time to be in this Lenten season. And my brothers and sisters, you're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're here at Christ Cathedral, and we're going to talk about the final key element of Lent when we come right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Katie Hughes and Michael Amula. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit talking about the joy of Lent. We've covered the background of Lent, the critical aspect of prayer, the importance of fasting and feasting. Feasting as it relates to things that improve and enhance our love of God and others. The final key element of Lent, and stay tuned on this, is almsgiving. And people go, oh no, not that. But here's the thing, my brothers and sisters, no one can outdo God's generosity. I can tell you story after story after story. When you give from your heart, God showers you with blessings. This is not the prosperity gospel. Mm-hmm. But what I'm telling you is that that when you give, God will give back 100-fold. And let's take a look. And I'm not saying just monetarily either. Mm-hmm. I mean, give of your time, give of your talent. Mm-hmm. And certainly give of your treasure. Let's take a look at Galatians 6. It says, make no mistake, God is not mocked, for a person will reap only what he sows, because the one who sows for his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh, but the one who sows from the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So it's important for people to understand, Katie, that it's not their money. It's God's money. God has blessed them with material wealth, to certainly for themselves and their families and so forth, but also to help build up the church.
Yes, it's kind of freeing when you realize everything you have is God's. It all belongs to Him, and we are ambassadors of what He's given us. And during this Lent, it's important to really focus on that. Be an ambassador for God and give. Give till it hurts. Give till it's uncomfortable. Your time. Maybe it's doing one extra thing you do a week in ministry. Maybe it's you're exhausted, but someone wants to hear from you. Give them the call. Maybe it's giving twice the amount at that Sunday collection. Maybe it's giving it to someone who you normally would ignore on the street and give them that $5. All of those things will release you and free you, that God gave that to them. Just think of that. You are the one holding that treasure, and you're to give.
You know, Michael, it's really important to follow our passion. God gives us a certain passion as it relates to giving our time, talent, and treasure. But let's assume treasure for a second. It might be a particular ministry, certainly our parish, or it might be some type of charity.
Yeah, I think that, as you said, you know, it's not our money. And God has bestowed on each of us talents. And I know that I have the opportunity to use my talents in the real estate industry to help with two different nonprofit organizations where just by simply being there, by showing up, by consulting with these organizations, that it helps them in their mission. And quite frankly, you know, I find it very rewarding that I have that opportunity. And as Katie said, you give your talents, you do those extra things. And I know last night when I was home at about 10 o'clock and was just finishing up with some of the items we need here to produce the radio show, I was thinking about how blessed I am that I have that opportunity and how my faith continues to grow because I listen to God's call for me to be involved in this radio program.
And that's exactly, my brothers and sisters, what it is starts, that what it's all about, what it starts with, and that is to listen to God. That's why prayer is so important. That's why we started with prayer. You have to be in the presence of God and basically give him your heart and ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do with my time, talent, and treasure? What do you want me to do as it relates to serving your people, building up your church and serving you? Please take a look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25 is such a critical chapter in Scripture because, of course, it has the famous judgment of the nations where it says, Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me, as it relates to feeding them. And when they were thirsty, you gave them drink. When they were stranger, you clothed them, ill and or in prison, and you visited them. You know, most of us know those scriptures, and it's very important. But right before that is the parable of the talents, also a very important parable. And it's a man going on a journey, called to his servants and trusted his possessions to them. One he gave 5 talents, another 2, and another to a third he gave to one, each according to ability. The one that had 5 traded and made another 5. The one who had 2 did the same. And then the one that had only 1 dug a hole and buried his master's money. And for the one that had 5 and 2, the answer was, well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you are faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. But the one that buried the treasure or buried what was given to them basically was told that you know, that he was going to be thrown into Gehenna and where there'll be gnashing and grinding of teeth. So, you know, it was a very severe punishment. The point I'm making to everybody is that when you are blessed with finances, with treasures, when you're blessed with time and talent, you've got to give that back.
It's about sharing of ourselves.
Exactly.
Sharing of ourselves with other people. And I can't express enough to our radio audience just how filled with gratitude I find myself when I get involved in these different things and you think, oh, I don't have enough time, you know. So, you know, that would be the reason why you might push away from that activity. But when you get involved, how you feel personally, internally, as you grow in benevolence and you work with people and you just continue to expand your involvement in your faith community, it's very, very rewarding.
I can't express to you how God can really use you, your talents and your treasure. And I had experience with St. Paul Street Evangelization. And it was a slow day, and we were standing outside, cloudy day, and not many people we could touch because no one was out. This one gentleman, young, maybe 18, just had a tank top on and, you know, covered in tattoos. And we just said, hey, you know, we want a rosary. And he said, sure, do you have a red one? And so in that giving of the rosary, we started talking with him. And we come to find he has no home. He's been homeless for 3 months, living in Tustin. And right there and then, I'm like, well, we need to find him a home. So we used our treasure, our cell phones, and looked up phone numbers to call, got him directions. Someone offered him $5 for bus money. I mean, that's a treasure. And you know, working as a community in that way of giving. And, you know, all you can do now is you let him go. He's on his way, and you just pray for him. But that was a gift to give, and what a blessing. It just felt, it was so energizing when you're able to share God's love with people.
And really what it starts with is having the heart to make a difference, the heart to make a difference with your talent, but also, again, with your treasure. Jesus has given us money to be used to build something up, to build up ourselves, our families, and so forth, and paying bills and all that stuff, but also to insist and to encourage other people and to build up the church and ministries and so forth. And so I ask my brothers and sisters that you pray and ask God, Lord, what is it that I need to do with my talent, time, and treasure? What should I do with the money that you've given me? And for so many people, they give just what they absolutely have to, or what, you know, kind of what's left over, quote unquote. But remember the parable of the widow and the parable of the woman that gave all she had. She gave the money that she had, despite the fact that she really didn't have much to give, versus people that had a lot and gave very little. So my brothers and sisters, as we reflect upon this Lenten season, ask yourself, where am I with my personal prayer life? Where am I in terms of fasting and feasting? Where am I in terms of giving my time, talent, and treasure? Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you. We thank you so much for allowing us to follow you and be your servants. We thank you so much for being chosen by you. Open up our hearts to receive your love and joy. Guide us, Lord, on what we need to do during this Lenten season to become closer to you, what we should be fasting of and feasting on, what we should be doing as it relates to our time, talent, and treasure. Fill us with your joy. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us, Lord God, and melt us and mold us and heal us through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we pray. And I bless all of you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We look forward to being with you next week at the same time. Have a blessed week during this Lenten season as you get even closer to the risen Savior. God bless you.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.